today on Real Radio.
But are you not in need? I don't need that. I'm okay. I'll deal with it when I get up there. I'm not so bad. Then Jesus says in Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who literally practices sin, because you see yourself in no need.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Compromise or Just Being Wise, continues a series now called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys. He was committed to spreading the gospel to the Gentile world. And now, Paul is ready for the end of his mission. In the message called What is God's Will for Your Life from Acts chapter 21, we learned that God's true will for Paul's life and for ours is found in God's Word. Going back to Jerusalem meant certain death for Paul, so his companions and friends desperately warned him not to go. But Paul knew God's purpose for his life. He'd already counted the cost, and in good conscience and with peace in his heart, he stayed the course. Now in verses 15 through 26 of Acts chapter 21, we find Paul arriving in Jerusalem for the last time. His friends and companions are with him, and God's hand was truly upon Paul with a passion to see that his Jewish brethren would come to the Lord. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul's passion for the Jewish believers showed how much of a minister he was towards liberating them from the law. And Jesus, he has that same passion towards us, to free us from the bondage of sin and the idea that good works will save us. Following Christ comes by accepting his boundless grace. We can't earn it. He freely gave his life for us on the cross, so that we can have the free gift of eternal life. And now, continuing his lesson called Compromise or Just Being Wise, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You and I will fail, just like Billy Graham and John Paul, every day of our lives. Either externally or internally. We'll either do something, we'll lose our temper, or we'll have a bad thought. We will sin daily. And the only way you'll keep going and growing is by the grace of God. And the law and grace are mutually exclusive. Well, Jack, why did God give the law? God gave the law to bring you to salvation, to bring you to faith. Listen to this carefully. We are either receiving God's goodness and grace in our lives, or we're running around trying to patch and glue together the broken Ten Commandments. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom? Why? The way was opened up by his sacrifice. And a lot of people get the ladder and they try to sew the veil back up, trying to work their way. The law was designed to bring you to Christ and say, this law's killing me. I need you, Jesus, save me. And he says, all right. The law could never save us. It was never intended to save. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, this is the true effects of the law, Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I want to do what's right, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. That doesn't mean he goes out and sins. It means that he understands that his flesh was warring against his spirit and his desires. Do you ever have that struggle? How many of you have a struggle with the flesh in the spirit? Almost all of us. The few of you who didn't raise your hand, I need to see you after service. I want you to rub my head or something. I need it. We're all imperfect. We all need him as a savior. Paul cries out, oh, wretched man. Romans 7:9 through 11 says, I was alive once when the law wasn't present. This means more to us than you know. I was alive once when the law wasn't present. But when the law came, sin revived in me and I died. And the law, which was to bring life, I found it to bring death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment of the law, deceived me and killed me spiritually. What does that mean? That means you're driving down the highway and you're having a great time. Imagine yourself, you're in a Lamborghini and you're moving. Man, this is great. And you haven't, for an hour, you haven't seen any posted speed limit signs. I'm having a great time. It's not even in your mind. Oh boy! And all of a sudden, 55. Did that say 55? 55. Is that a black and white thing up there ahead? The law came into your consciousness. Uh-oh. The law has come in. I'm guilty. I thought I had life. But now I've broken the law, and now the very law that was there to protect me and guide me, I broke, and now I'm getting a $300 ticket. You see? That's how the law works. And these guys wanted to be believers in Jesus Christ, but keep the law also. And I think it's safe to say that the Western Church, Western, when I say I'm talking about America, I'm talking about Canada and Europe, many of them are bound in legalism because the grace of God is just too good to be true. It is too good, but it is true. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law. Are you trying to be good enough? Imagine in this room there are people here right now who think that they're better than you are. There's people in this room thinking, well, I'm not so bad. You are more deceived than anyone. The Bible says, Galatians 2:16, that you cannot be justified by the works of the law by being good enough, but only by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Jack, I know a lot of people who believe, but their life hasn't changed at all. Then listen, brother, sister, they haven't truly believed in Him. They say they know Him, but they don't really. Galatians says that no flesh shall be justified, made sinless in His presence by trying to keep the law. The law says we're guilty. That's a tremendous thing. Can you admit this morning that you're a sinner? Paul knew that he was a sinner. He said that he was chief of sinners. Then Jesus would say to you this morning, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That is the law. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden, it's light. But are you not in need? I don't need that. I'm okay. I'll deal with it when I get up there. I'm not so bad. Then Jesus says in Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who literally practices sin, because you see yourself in no need. In the summation of all this, Paul said in Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, for the message of the preaching of the cross of Christ is an absolute joke and foolishness to those who are dying. But it's the power of God for us who believe. And that's the bottom line this morning. Paul said he believed. And he forgot about himself and put himself in the presence of Christ. Then there were believers in Jerusalem who said they believed, but they kept the law. Well, listen. It may be so in your life this morning that the cross is an offense to you. You think it's a terrible thing. There's no other way to heaven. The second thing is in verse 21. They were bound by misunderstanding. Verse 21 says, but they have been informed about you, Paul, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children and walk according to the customs. That's just an absolute lie. It's not true. Paul did teach that circumcision cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. The reason why we didn't baptize little Kendra this morning is because baptism, you can only baptize, according to the Bible, someone who is a remorseful or repentful of their sin. Repent and believe and be baptized. You can't baptize an infant. It doesn't do anything but get them wet. Unless that little infant says, I've been a rotten little sinner for the last 4 months of my life. And I come to the cross of Jesus Christ and I ask for forgiveness. And I'm going to choose Christ and I'm going to walk after Him. You cannot baptize somebody unless they have first practiced remission, the Bible says. We dedicated her unto the Lord. Yes. Jesus gave us that pattern. Mark 10. But baptism are for those who have already accepted Christ. Paul the Apostle, who was the proclaimer of the gospel, he says, Jesus didn't send me to baptize people. In fact, I can only think of a couple people I've ever baptized. He sent me to preach the gospel. Why? It's when you respond to the gospel, that's when you're saved. Baptism is follow-up. And if you've been baptized without a personal relationship of Jesus Christ, you simply got wet. Well, what happens if you get circumcised? What happens if you're Jewish and you get circumcised? Well, you certainly are sore. But it doesn't save you. It's an outward manifestation display that you have internally received God, received Christ. And that's an affront to a lot of people. I know a lot of people, so do you, who are trusting to go to heaven because they're baptized as an infant. And that's a tragedy. Trimming the skin, cleaning up your act is not going to help you in the end. But look at this. The rumors were assailing about Paul. He never said such things. They were making up stories about Paul. They were lying about Paul because he promoted the grace of God. What a tremendous thing. Not only were they bound in misunderstanding, they were bound in division. Look at verses 22 to 23, and we'll wrap this up as quickly as we can. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you've come. Therefore, do what we tell you. Now, I have a hard time with this, people. And I don't know the answer. I honestly don't know the answer to this. But I have a hard time with this. Therefore, do what we tell you. This is James speaking. We have four men who have taken a vow. Verse 24. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses. Take them, pay their expenses. That was not cheap, by the way, to buy all these animals and buy all these things. So that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things which they were informed concerning you are nothing, that they're not true. But that you yourself also walk orderly and what does it say in your Bible? Keep the law. Now, this is where scholars say, that's it, Paul blew it, he's backsliding. I have books in my library that say right here, one of my favorite guys, two of my favorite guys, Harry Ironside and Donald Gray Barnhouse, say right here in their commentaries, Paul's backslidden. I couldn't handle that. This guy had already penned Galatians and Romans. He's the one that said, and quite possibly Hebrews, he's the one that said, going back to those things is an abomination to God. And yet he's going right back to them. What happened? What's going on? Was he compromising or was he being wise? Listen to this. I don't know if we're going to understand this. But in verses 24 to 26, we see here our third and final point. Paul had a desire for all them to come to faith. All his ministry, he was saying, oh, that the Jews might come to faith, my brothers, according to the flesh. He said, I wished myself cut off from eternity so that my brothers can all be saved. I can't pray that prayer. I wish I could. I can't. I want to get there, brother. Paul says, I don't care if I ever make it to heaven as long as they make it in. I think Paul looked at James. Now, this is in my head. You're not going to find this in the Bible. I think Paul looked at James and thought, James, what have you been doing for 20 years? Why hasn't somebody taken a stand around here to promote the grace of God and to teach what Jesus taught us? Why doesn't somebody around here recognize that he hung on a cross between heaven and hell to free us from trying to get there ourselves? That the law was simply a schoolmaster, that is a pedagogus in the Greek. Something to spank us, to show us along the way that we're failures, and it brings us to the point where we say, Jesus saved me, I don't want to deal with the law anymore, and he saves us. Why doesn't James, why didn't you preach this to this people? Teach them. But I think he kept his counsel to himself. I think Paul went through this. By the way, God mercifully next week will interrupt. Paul never got to the point of offering an animal as a sacrifice, which was part of the deal. He never got to that point. God interrupted him. Paul was the greatest promoter of grace. And here he's going through this routine. Why? So that he might use it as a platform to share with his brothers and sisters in the flesh. And would you and I go to such great lengths to do that? You'll remember this, I would think, if it was during this service. A long time ago, I came up here with a suit on or with a tie on. And all of you are going, what's happening? What's going on? What's happened? What's happened? What's going on? Well, the family that goes here called me up and said, my father won't come. He's a certain minister, and he will not come to the baby's dedication unless you're wearing a suit. That you have to at least have a tie on, or he will walk out of the sanctuary. But he wants to be here for the dedication. So I said, well, you can just tell your father that. I put a tie on. I spent 12 years wearing a tie. I vowed not to wear them anymore. It's my Nazarite vow, you know. I put a suit on. I put a tie on. And as soon as that service was over, I took it off. Why? So that guy would hear the gospel. Now, that's no big deal. But when we share Jesus Christ, are we willing to go so far as Paul has gone, to the point where even commentators today say he's backslidden, man? When the fact is, he did exactly what Jesus did. He took upon him the form of a man. The Father says, Jesus, why don't you go on down there? Feel just like them, look just like them, become one of them. And then go, they're going to beat you up and shred your back and pluck out the beard from your face and crucify you. And by the way, when you rise from the dead, you're still going to be a man. You'll be a man forever. Paul is getting slammed for exactly what Jesus did. He came down and became one of them. And may we never, as a church, draw in our robes and say, may his shadow never cross my path. Oh my goodness, they touched my robe. I've got to go wash it. Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. I think Paul is showing us the epitome of his heart, that people would come to faith in him, in Jesus, not him. What a great minister. Let's pray. Father, Lord, it is almost an injustice to even talk about the grace of God in such a short period of time. We can never do it justice. It's so vast and wonderful and so liberating. And Father, knowing God personally, the wonderful, wonderful liberty that comes and the power that comes in being your child solely based upon what Jesus has done is so precious that it causes our hands to go up into open-palmed worship of you rather than a clenched fist of pounding out the stone, walking the circle like a horse on a mill, constantly going nowhere. And the harder we work, the deeper the groove gets. Jesus, this morning there may be Christians who are bound in this stuff, and they've never felt the freedom. Oh Lord God, I beg of you this morning, touch them. When they walk out of this place this morning, they will feel the water of your abundant, abundant life washing over them. And while we're praying, maybe you've never accepted Christ and you want to have such forgiveness. I know there's many of you in here already that already know the Lord, but maybe there's somebody here who does not yet. And you want to receive this incredible grace. You need to receive Him publicly. The Bible declares that. And by you slipping your hand up in a moment, if you choose to do so, you're saying, I'm receiving Christ as my Savior. I'm giving my life to Him. I'm repenting of my sins. And I'm going to follow Him. I'll see your hand. And then I'm going to ask you when we're all done and the music and we're leaving, that you can go back to the prayer room and tell one of the brothers, I need a Bible. I gave my heart to Christ just now. That is fulfilling the Word of God where He says, you say it with your lips, that you believe that Christ died and rose again. If you can raise your hand to that, why don't you slip your hand up while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you're saying yes to Jesus this morning. And I know in this place, I think I know almost everybody in here. Maybe it doesn't apply. But you would like to receive Christ this morning publicly. You've been bound up in law and legalism. Don't let this moment slip by. Anybody at all this morning? Father, we pray, Lord God, that we would all, as brothers and sisters, walk in the freedom and in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity. And for my brothers and sisters this morning that would raise their hand if I were to ask them, have you been bound in performance? Lord, I just pray that you'd liberate them now and cause them to fall in love with your Father heart. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Compromise or Just Being Wise. Thanks for listening. And Paul used his freedom in Christ to become a servant to all. It wasn't a compromise, but a wise decision so that more might be won over to the faith. Compromise or Just Being Wise. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, January is right around the corner, and we have a one-year Bible available just for you that we think you're really going to like. It's simply called The One-Year Bible, and it helps you read through the entire Bible in 1 year in about 15 minutes a day. That's pretty good. Now, The One-Year Bible is unique in that no other Through the Bible plan presents the entire Bible in such a user-friendly format. Each 15-minute daily reading program includes a portion from the Old Testament, a portion from the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. Now think about this. It's perfect to include in your personal devotion time or for family Bible reading with children of all ages. And with Christmas coming, wouldn't it make a great gift for a friend or a loved one or maybe even a coworker? One more time, it's called The One-Year Bible, and it's available for purchase right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.